Please pray with me. Dear Lord, may these words not be my words. May this message not come from me, Lord, but may it come from you. May it serve your purpose and may it give you glory. Praise your name. Amen. We are going to be talking about family for the next 3 weeks. Ideas on how can our families become the families that we want them to be and that God wants them to be. And we are going to talk this morning specifically about conflict. My wife's chuckling here. I can see her belly going up and down here. We all have conflict, right? How many of us in this room right now have had an argument or a dispute or some sort of conflict with any member of their family in the last week? Anybody? There are not enough hands going up. I know that every hand should be up because we're people. We have conflict. And each of us deals with conflict, approaches conflict in a different way in our families. Conflict is very different in families than it is in the rest of life. It's very different. Conflict works very differently in families than it does at work or even in the church. Because for families, it's emotional, it's squishy, it's hard to handle. But we all have conflict in our families. And the way that conflict tends to manifest itself in families is through fights, arguments, right? And when we argue and when we fight, we want to win, right? At least I do. My wife can attest to this. And we argue and we fight to make our point or to win the fight or whatever. And whenever we win the fight, the argument, we don't really win anything. After we've made our case and after we've made our, you presented statistics and a flow chart and we've made all of the points we want to make, we've won the argument, and everyone in the family, the kids, the wife, the spouse, the husband, say, yep, you know, you won, you made your point, you were right. And we think it's all over, but somehow it's not over, is it? Because the conflict persists. When you win an argument, when you win a fight, you don't really ever win anything. In the boardroom, in the courtroom, when you win an argument, there's a reward for that. But in the living room or in the bedroom, when you argue and you win a fight, nothing is gained from that. But conflict is just a reality. It's just part of life. But how do we deal with conflict? How do we approach conflict? And what can we learn this morning that can help us approach that differently in our lives and our families? James, the brother of Jesus, has something to say about this. And I'm inclined to pay attention to James. He knew Jesus. He was Jesus' brother. He grew up in Jesus' household. He shared DNA with Jesus. We don't think about that, but he did. He knew him probably better than anyone else. And he's got truth here that has been written there for almost 2,000 years. And some of us maybe don't even realize what it says. We're going to take a look at that. But I'd like to start us off with this question. What causes quarrels and fights among you? What I could do right now is say, okay, everybody take a minute or two and turn to the person next to you that you came to worship with and ask them, what causes quarrels and fights among us? But I'm not stupid, so I'm not going to do that. Because if I were to do that, quarrels and fights would break out in this room. It would not be good. And why is that? Because shortly into that conversation, we would be pointing fingers at the other person and say, you cause quarrels and fights among us. It's you. You cause quarrels and fights among us. That's pretty much our default, right? That's where we come from. That's where we start. But James has something else to say about this. I invite you, if you have your Bibles handy or grab a pew Bible, we're going to be in James chapter 4, just the first two verses there. James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. But he starts off here. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? And then he says, don't they come from your desire that battles within you? Isn't the reason that you quarrel and fight with those you love because of the desire, the battles within you? We all want something, right? We all have our own idea, our own perspective, our own place where we're coming from. And we believe that if everyone would just do what we say, do what we tell them to do, act the way we want, say the things we want, that it would be great. Life would be fine. We'd get along. Has anybody ever tried that? Is that work in anybody's family? It does not work in my family. I tend to think that, yeah, I've got all the answers. I know exactly how we need to do it. And if my wife would just do this, and if my kids would just do this, and if my mom would just do this, and everybody would just do what I tell them to do, we wouldn't have any problems. James is saying, because of desires, the battle within you is the reason you quarrel and fight. Then he goes on, he says, you desire, but you do not have. You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. That's strong language there. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. James is speaking allegorically here. He's not saying physically kill, because we want what we want, and the other person, when we can battle or fight or complain or quarrel over that, we're not going to physically kill that other person, our spouse, our kids, our parents, but we might kill the trust between us. We might kill the relationship between people we love. There's damage there when we quarrel and fight and engage in that conflict in a wrong way. We often alienate those we love. We often push those we love away. And sometimes when our kids are grown up and they leave, if they've their whole life have battled because of something that you wanted, you expected, sometimes that world's relationships are damaged beyond repair. Or sometimes we give up on marriage with our spouse, right? We get divorced, some of us, because we quarrel, we fight, and we cannot do what we need to do. We come at it from a bad place. And James is saying that the next verse, you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. We want something that we're not getting. Because of that, we quarrel and fight with those we love. And it never goes well. When we quarrel and fight, we're basically saying that what I want is important. It's all that matters. But that, we got to be careful. What James is saying here is, you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You want something that you're not getting, which is causing the problem. We think that it's the other person's problem, the other person's fault. It's their, it's what they aren't giving us is why we are having this fight, this argument, this conflict. James is saying it's because of something that's in you is why you quarrel and fight. But you say, wait, Pastor Mike, but she promised to do this, or he promised that he'd do this, or they told me they'd do this, and you know, till death do us part, and the vows, and all that. And they say, but it's not fair. I deserve this, or I deserve that, or we are supposed to do it this way. We got to be careful with fair. Because we never pull the fair card unless it works to our advantage, right? You never pull into a parking, the last parking spot at the mall, and pull in, and there's a car waiting, and you pull in, and you bang your steering wheel. God, it's not fair. That person was waiting for the spot, and I just whipped in there and took that spot. That's not fair. We don't do that. We never do that, do we? We whip in that spot. Thank God blessed us. He was looking out for us, right? Fair doesn't exist. Nothing's been fair in life since the Garden of Eden. But we quarrel and we fight because of something that is in us. Because we want something that we're not getting. So I'd like us to try an exercise right now. I want you to say, repeat after me. We are quarreling, we are fighting, because I'm not getting what I want. Repeat that with me. We are quarreling and we are fighting because... Do the hand motion too, everybody. We are quarreling and we are fighting because... If we own that, if we start from that place, I'm not getting what I want. If we open up the possibility that maybe part of the problem is us, then when we have to own that part, we have to be responsible for that, then the temperature in the conflict will drop. Tension will drop in our conflicts, in our arguments, in our fights. Our fights will not happen as often. And when they do, if we come at it from that perspective, saying that this is mostly, or maybe even just a little bit, me. And we don't assume it's all them. Then it diffuses things. It makes us take a step back and look at it in a better way. So that when we have conflict, when we address issues, when we confront those we love for a legitimate reason, we don't get that gridlock. And then James finishes that verse with this. He says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." You do not have because you do not ask God. Is it possible that maybe not all the time, but most of the time when we fight, when we quarrel, when we bicker with those we love, our parents, our kids, our husbands, our wives, because we're not getting what we want. And we're not getting what we want because we've not gone to God first. We've not gone to God with those problems, with those wants, with those things that we think we're entitled to, that we need. Is it possible that the quarrel happens because we're trying to get something that we want from someone who doesn't have the capacity to give that to us? What if, and this is a practice that makes sense, but we so seldom do it. What if any time we were about to approach our spouse, our significant other, our kids, our parents, whoever it might be, those we're closest to, and those we're closest to, we have the most chance to hurt in these moments. But what if before we went to those we love to confront them, to address an issue, and some issues need to be addressed. some things need to be confronted in our families. That's a good thing. But what if before we went there, we first went to God and said, God, there's something that I want that I'm not getting. What if we started there and allow God to give us whatever that is? Or at least to trust God to give you the resources, the patience, the understanding, the calmness required for you and your spouse, or your kids, or your parents to work together. If we go to God first and get what we really need and what we really want, then we can go to that other person and have a better conversation. A conflict, a debate, a conversation that doesn't erupt in fighting and screaming and tears. What if we first went to God? Because we know that God is the only one who can really give us what we want and what we need. If we start there, then maybe the conflict with our spouse, our kids, whoever we are in relationship with, we'll be able to approach that in a more healthy way. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you're an awesome God, and you've given us and blessed us with families who love us and who we love. And Lord, we just pray that you can teach us, you can encourage us to engage our families in a positive way, in a healthy way. Lord, and as we think about this message and this passage, and over the next few weeks, Lord, I pray that your power works in this congregation, that it works in this community, and that it binds us together so that we can be the families, so we can lead the families, so that we can have the families that you want us to have, to be a blessing to us and to the world and to you. Pray this in your name. Amen.